This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Okay, I didn't get to this one yesterday, but Brian Windhorst, who covers the ESPN, or covers the NBA with ESPN, he had discussed the nature of recent tanking tactics, such as teams sitting healthy players in the fourth quarter, and reports suggesting that these actions have created issues with gambling partnerships, Michael. Reports, including insights cited alongside coverage of the issue, suggest that angry gambling companies are pushing for action because late-game tanking affects over-unders and player props. There's been a belief out there that with the NBA's heavy involvement with gambling companies, as in sports betting, that there's an increased pressure amongst the NBA and Commissioner Adam Silver to finally put a stop to tanking. Tanking's been happening for a very, very, very long time. We're just now really talking about it. Why? Because the gambling companies are spending a lot of money with these leagues, and they're getting frustrated. They're getting tired of it. Adam Silver said he's going to try every possible remedy, and they're going to expedite this, man. They're going to try to get this done relatively quickly because they're getting pressure from the real money behind. Well, maybe not the real money, but a lot of the money that's wrapped up in the NBA. I think Adam Silver, Michael, is the worst commissioner in all of sports. And it's not even close. It's not even close, man. He is terrible.
He started off strong.
Well, he had something that fell into his lap, to be honest. And I complimented him for that. But it was the, what's his name? Donald Sterling? The Clippers owner? I mean, the only choice was to get rid of him. And I remember we started the show right around that time, and some people were weird about that. You had to get rid of him. That was the obvious thing. So Adam Silver, because in your bylaws and your contracts and all that stuff, when you own a team, in the fine print, or maybe not even in the fine print, you say things like, you can't do stuff that's detrimental to the league. And when he was caught on, I don't care how you got it, he said it. When he was caught on a recording from his then-girlfriend, they made a TV show out of it, saying just terrible things about basketball players, about black players, about Magic Johnson. I mean, just weird stuff. Frustrated that she was hanging out with guys like that. I mean, it was awful. And the what remember what happened? Fans and players were threatening to strike. Like the players for the Clippers were like, we're not going to go play for this guy. And then fans started to get frustrated and they threatened a boycott. You had no choice. So when you say he started off strong, yeah, he had to make that decision. He couldn't really sit back and say, you know, he's been reprimanded. You know, he's going to get in trouble. He's going to be fined, all this stuff. We're taking draft picks away. You literally couldn't, because he wasn't going to be able to field a team if they continued to let him sit at power. So what he did was certainly something that was detrimental to the NBA. So Adam Silver had to act. Since then, what has he done? He's added a play-in tournament to the playoffs. Not, it's okay, whatever. He's added the NBA Cup, which I think is just an absolute joke. Now he's talking about tanking, and I understand that you should be trying to fix tanking, but it's all he does is talks, man. And when he actually acts, it's stuff that nobody cares about. I mean, I don't believe Mark Cuban. I disagree with some of the things he said and the way he said it, because he's basically saying tanking is not, it's not that big of a deal. It's the only way bad teams can get competitive is to get the draft picks. I get what he's saying. Michael and I had a lengthy chat about that on Monday. But I didn't agree with everything he had to say and how he phrased it. But I don't think that's the biggest issue threatening the NBA and their ratings. So, you know, the All-Star game, I guess, like, the ratings were the best it's been in a very, very long time. So that's a point for Adam Silver. I think doing the USA versus World thing certainly got people going, got people talking about it more than it's ever been talked about. But then I'm hearing him on another podcast, Mike, say he might consider doing some kind of one-on-one or two-on-two tournament in the All-Star game. Like, why do we keep dressing up this pig that is the All-Star? And I'm talking about that for every sport. We spend way too much time thinking about those things. And now he's putting pressure on teams, and he's fining teams. I mean, they just fined the Jazz $500,000 and the Pacers $100,000 for tanking behaviors. He's doing it, and I think some probably appreciate it. But if there's owners out there that have the mindset of Mark Cuban, they're not going to love this. You have to figure out a way to get away. I mean, because the problem is it's an 82-game season, so tanking happens sometimes 40 games in, half the way through the season, if not more. And that's why I said, hey, if you really do care about this cup thing, do you figure out a way to reward teams that maybe? I mean, he's brought up the maybe even starting a tournament for the teams that are not in the playoffs to play for draft picks. That's odd to me. The guys you're wanting to play their butts off could be ultimately replaced if they draft your position with a high pick. I don't know. I'm not sure that that's going to work. I do think the idea of rewarding the first team out somehow would make sense. So they're still fighting, and you not just the first team out, but you rank them that way. The problem with my thinking is the bad teams never really have a chance to get good again. But there's got to be a way to do this, and I'm not in love with a lot of the ideas that he's come up with. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Phoenix Suns owner Matt Ishbia said tanking is much worse than any prop bet scandal. I mean, they're all bringing the bets into this. He responded to a Yahoo Sports story about tanking, and he went to X on Thursday to do it. He added his voice to one of the major narratives, according to ESPN. Multiple teams drew fines. We just talked about those prior to the All-Star break for sitting players, and Commissioner Adam Silver acknowledged the magnitude of the problem. Ishbia wrote, "This is ridiculous. Tanking is losing behavior done by losers. Purposely losing is something nobody should want to be associated with. Embarrassing for the league and for the organizations. And the talk about this as a strategy is ridiculous. If you're a bad team, you get a good pick. That makes sense. But purposely shutting down players and purposely losing games is a disgrace and impacts the integrity of the whole league." I mean, it's not good, but I'm saying I understand it. I can make a case for it in the NFL for that final week or two of the season a lot easier. And I'm not saying you go out there and you try to lose a game, although we've heard ownership in the NFL gets frustrated with lame duck coaches trying to win meaningless games late in the season to cost them a high draft pick. But it, unfortunately, the way you set up your draft is always going to lead to tanking behavior, and that's with most leagues. Now, hockey's hard to tank, man. You can't really go out there and try to lose. You're going to get hurt. But you can pull guys. You can rest guys. one idea Adam Silver had was to eliminate the NBA draft and just say rookies can sign on as free agents. That idea actually could work. I hope he does it. Because if he wants to not be the worst commissioner in the NBA, or in the NBA history, and not the worst commissioner overall, if he could make an actual move that solves tanking for good and something that big of a move to eliminate your draft, you make money off of that. You promote that. That's a big thing. The NBA draft is a huge deal. It's not like the NFL draft. But it's a marketing thing. You know, they sell advertising around that, and it's a big promotion for the NBA. If you do this, you'd have to set up some kind of like day of where guys are making their commitments, kind of like what we see in high school recruiting when they announce where they're going to college. But you have to find a way to take all your top players, the players that would be drafted in a two-round system, and put them on camera somehow. And then they announce what they're going to do, who they're signing with, that kind of thing. I just tweeted out, Adam Silver is the worst commissioner in sports. That dude should leave the NBA and go work for the NCAA. He'd fit right in. Stephanie says, expand. I'm a Nuggets fan. I'm not a big NBA fan. I think he talks a lot and does not very much. He throws out crazy ideas that are not going anywhere. And he's adding things to the NBA that I think dilute the game a bit. I think the cup is a joke. I was trying to reserve judgment and say, okay, let's see how it goes. But you're playing for nothing. Brady, the players get a check from it. The players that don't make bank get money from it. That does nothing for fans. If you want to have a tournament like that, and you really want it to be a secondary championship that we're supposed to care about, that you have to make it something that they earn that would make them appealing to the fan base. Whether that's, okay, winner of the cup gets a guaranteed draft pick. Or the teams that get to the final whatever get a certain draft pick or something is what you have to do. I mean, the Knicks won it. That's a championship-type team. The Bucks won it. You could argue that, yeah, that's a championship-type team. And then the Lakers beat the Pacers in 2023. All championship-type teams. So the problem with that logic is that these are going to be good teams anyway. You can't really reward them with a draft pick. Okay. Maybe only what about this idea, Michael? Teams that were not in the playoffs the previous year are the only ones allowed to play in the cup. The teams that did not make the playoffs play in the NBA Cup, and they play for the top picks, and then you rank how they finished in the standings of the cup. Then they're playing for something, but that still doesn't... If you move the cup tournament later in the season, which some would argue that... Eliminate the All-Star Weekend. There we go. Mike, listen to me. I'm coming up with a great idea here. Eliminate the All-Star Weekend. The NBA Cup is the teams that did not make the playoffs the previous year, and winner gets the number one pick. Second place gets number two pick, and on we go.
I haven't heard a bad idea.
Is that good? You good with that? We sign in on that?
I'd sign in on that. Better than what Adam Silver's come up with.
Eliminate All-Star Weekend, and then you start that tournament. Now, again, here comes the flaw. Those teams are playing more games. They don't get the week off. Well, they're not going to probably make the playoffs anyway, right? I mean, yeah, there are teams that make a turn. If you're on the outside, barely on the outside looking in the year before, maybe you can make that push. And that would severely impact your health and your chances of making that second half push. But maybe you eliminate some of their regular season games so that they get somewhat of a break before. There's a way to do this. This idea is not bulletproof yet, but it's getting there.
I mean, this might work with the tanking, I don't know, but the teams that don't make it into the playoffs get a consolation playoffs, the NBA Cup playoffs.
He's talking about that.
Like that.
I don't want a playoffs before the right before the playoffs.
I'm saying like right after the playoffs, like the loser's bracket. They only get one game. Because it's
maybe
the loser's bracket.
I mean, it's not like it's a ton of teams either, because the play-in teams would get in.
I hate that.
The play-in teams don't count. So you'd have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? 10 teams would be in this, would be in the cup playoffs.
Yeah, that's so...
And you just do one game. You just set up a bracket.
Games.
One game.
That makes more undeserving teams.
Well, they're not going to change that. They're not going to get rid of the play-in. Derp says, I like the idea for me. Just shave the lottery down. Give me 6 to 8 teams to play for the top draft pick. Yeah. I just don't know if you could do... I guess you could do the playoffs. You have the NBA playoffs, and then you have the cup. And you could have them... You wouldn't want to do it at the same time, because that'd be too many games during the playoffs. I don't think you would do a series either. I think you would just do one game, and you put the 5 teams that didn't make it from the Western Conference and the 5 teams that didn't make it to the Eastern Conference, they play. I would propose they play during All-Star weekend. You don't have to worry about tanking either after All-Star break, because they've already completed who's getting the best picks. And then you've got your top 10 picks done, settled, and then how the playoffs unfold is how you get the rest of your picks. I think this is a genius idea. You would work it out where maybe they're not playing as many games. They're doing that anyway. So you have to find a way to give those 10 teams a break like the playoff teams are getting during All-Star weekend. But if it's just one game and then you lose, how many games would that be? 4? Aaron says, I think the only way to combat tanking is getting rid of the draft. And that's probably the easiest course of action. But I'm telling you, you want your All-Star weekend to mean something? You could still have your goofy little skills challenges, and you could probably still have your All-Star game if you wanted, but you just add the cup games begin the first or second day of the break. And that's for greater minds than me to figure out how you eliminate some of their games to the wear and tear on their body. Maybe those 10 teams, there's a portion of their schedule where they get like 5 days off or something. So it's kind of like a mini All-Star break. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I'm going to propose this on Twitter, and we're going to see what people think, because I think this would be a fun idea. Michael, let's take a quick break here. I'm going to give you my wish list, and you tell me, you know, if I'm general manager and I got all this money for the Broncos now that Russell Wilson's contract is gone, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do in the draft? What am I going to try to do in the draft? And what do I want in free agency? What do I consider trading? We'll get into some of that coming up next.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holmes.
Canada is up 1-0 over the USA with 5 minutes left. Is that in the second? We're in the second. Okay. Still a chance, Mike. Still a chance. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Dude, they're doing their free wine and beer tastings every single week. They just had their... what is it, their 13th or 14th year anniversary. Man, they're hooking you up when you go by. They're constantly doing giveaways and great prizes. But the cool thing is you get to go in there every Friday like clockwork, and you try something new. Maybe you find, maybe you're tired of that, you know, the same old Bush Light or whatever it is you're drinking. You're ready to make change. You want to go try something new. They're doing that, and they're teaming up with great breweries and distilleries throughout the area and bringing in some great products. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Michael, my wish list here. Thought about this a lot. Here's the guy that I really like. Alec Pierce. I think he would, I mean, he's a bigger receiver. He's fast. He's explosive. He can get down the field. That's the guy I would like. But here's my thought process here. I really want Denver to re-sign Jaquan McMillan. I don't think they can if they go sign a big free agent at running back and a big free agent at wide receiver. I think things get more complicated there. So this idea that was proposed, I think it was on ESPN, of this Riley Moss trade for A.J. Brown, also a second-round pick. I worry about the second-round pick, but I would make that move. We talked about that yesterday. Now, the guy I would really like to have is Alec Pierce. I think he would be great. But I'm also thinking I really want to see Jaquan McMillan come back. He stays in his nickel and dime position. You give the promotion to Jahdae Barron, who we didn't see a lot of. Turns out he was kind of banged up. We're going to have to see what he... You drafted him in your first round last year. So no one's given up on that guy yet. But if you re-sign Jaquan McMillan, he'll be back to... You know, he'll play dime or whatever. But we hear that Barron can play any position at secondary. He can play outside. He can play slot. He can play safety. So I think I want that. I think I want to see more from that guy. If you drafted him in the first round, clearly George Payton and Sean Payton believe in the dude. And George Payton's draft record has been pretty damn good recently. So I'd like to see more from him. So I'm going to say, all right, I can't really go after too many big name free agent guys. And you also want to make sure when you're signing guys, they're in free agency. I think your first step is you look at second contract guys, meaning they're younger and they're looking for their second contract. In free agency, I would like to see Breece Hall. You get him at running back. You trade. I take that deal and trade. Riley Moss for A.J. Brown. I take that deal, and I'm sacrificing a second-round pick. We're swapping fifth rounds, whatever. However that's working. One's a future fifth-rounder, I think. I take that deal. I re-sign Jaquan McMillan. In fact, I get that done now. And then you know what I'm trying to get aggressive in the draft with, Mike? Oregon's tight end, who is very good. Kenyon Sadiq. Now, he's projected to be anywhere from middle of the first round to late first round. Charles Davis has his mock draft at NFL.com, and he has San Francisco taking him at number 27. Because they're looking for their next George Kittle. Now, can you move up? Can you move down in the draft? Move up four spots? The only way you do that is you start swapping. You kind of have to get creative with draft picks, and you've already traded the second round pick for A.J. Brown. But it's not that far of a leap to try to move. Because, again, most mock drafts I'm seeing is... Sadiq is probably anywhere from 20 to 28-ish. Can Denver get aggressive with some kind of trade? You package a third-round pick with, I don't know, a Cortland Sutton-type player? Anybody on that defense? I don't think you're in a hurry to move anybody from that on that defensive side. And if you don't trade Riley Moss for A.J. Brown... Is Riley Moss realistic trade capital to try to move up a couple of spots if you're packaging a future or a second round pick or a future, not a first round pick to just swap spots or to move spots, but that would be intriguing to me because, dude, Sadiq would be a stud tight end. And I'm tired of Denver. So this solves a lot of your stuff. If you make the trade, Riley Moss for A.J. Brown, you bolster up your receiver room instantly. Sadiq would already be better as far as a pass catcher than any tight end that the Broncos currently have. And then you go in free agency, spend some money, and you bring in Breece Hall, re-sign J.K. Dobbins, and there's your 1 and 2, because you're going to get J.K. Dobbins on a good deal. And you hope R.J. Harvey works out as your third back, but J.K.'s probably not going to play multiple years, so maybe R.J.'s fine as a third back, and then he does enough with his time, because I'm sure they could still figure out a way to use him in the passing game. And maybe he's more ready after another year and he gets better, or he doesn't. Or he doesn't make that leap. But I think they have to upgrade at the running back position. They have to upgrade at those three key positions, Michael. The schedule is going to be more difficult next year. They're not going to... Can their defense be elite for 3 years in a row? Maybe. But they're going to have to start putting some people around Bo Nix. And the reason I think Denver, with the free money here, there's some argument, hey, you don't want to go crazy just because you finally unloaded the salary cap hit that Russell Wilson was creating, and now you got money to spend. And some people are like, just be cautious with it. No, you're in the window, man. You're in Bo Nix's window. You're not paying a premier quarterback $50 million a year yet. And I don't know if Bo will get to that point. He might make that leap. I'm confident he will. I think that he makes that leap a lot easier if he's suddenly throwing footballs to A.J. Brown and handing footballs off to Breece Hall. And then this rookie out of Oregon, Kenyon Sadiq, I'd take him. I would find a way to move some mountains to go draft a tight end in the first round. Now, if he was projected, if most of these mock drafts I'm looking at are projecting him to be like a 14, 10, maybe top 10 guy, then yeah, you're not going to be able to touch that. But four spots, according to most, I mean, Charles Davis has him at 27. I saw one that had him at 24 the other day. Actually, I saw it was because it was the Browns, because their tight end's moving on or ready to move on. He's hitting free agency. So I've seen 24. I've seen 27. Those are somewhat realistic jumps to make. Much more than five is going to be tough. Faith says, hey, Miles, Miles McClarity, UNC Bear, Miles would literally curl up in a ball and cry if Pierce left the Colts for Denver or anywhere, really. Alec Pierce would be good. If Denver goes and signs him over a Breece Hall, I think I'm all right with that. I'm just saying, if you could trade Riley Moss, because I don't think you re-sign Jaquan McMillan if you really believe that Riley Moss is going to be your future.
Well, if
then you're putting Jahdae Barron down the depth chart, too. Go ahead, Mike.
Hypothetical, if he had left and come to Denver, would Miles
probably
be a Broncos
not.
Fan?
No, probably not, because that's not how it works. Mike, you should know this more than anybody. Were you a Bills fan when Von Miller went to the Bills or the Rams?
No, but a lot of Wyoming fans defected.
Well, how many Wyoming fans are really like big Broncos fans? I know they like the Rockies. Wyoming people love the Rockies, but I don't know that Wyoming fans are diehard Bronco fans. I think they just like their college football team. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. So I think when Josh Allen went to the Bills, they all became Bills fans. It was an easier transition to make. Could be. But I don't think, no, I doubt Miles would jump over on that side. First Advance text line 888-530-0043. What do you think? You like my moves? We win a Super Bowl if we make these moves, Mike. We win a Super Bowl next year. You got it?
Hey, we make these moves and we win the Super Bowl.
You're welcome.
I'll give you all the credit.
A.J. Brown is on your team. He's a Bronco next year. Riley Moss, sorry, man. You're good. But we think we're going to invest in Jaquan McMillan and Jahdae Barron's future. We're going to go that route. And we're going to re-sign J.K. Dobbins for not much. He's already saying he wants to be a Bronco, man. We can negotiate that. That's going to be easy money. And then moving up in the draft is going to be tough. Mike, how many draft picks do the Broncos have this year? Do you happen to? I'll look at that when we... Let's take a quick break and I'll look at that. Because how much do you really have where you could use draft capital this year to move up? Because you certainly don't want to give away like a first round. Like you would swap your first round with San Francisco's first round or whoever, Cleveland's. But you'd have to give something else up to make that kind of a leap.
The Broncos have 7.
They got a first rounder. They got a second rounder. How many third rounders?
First, third,
oh, they don't have,
fourth.
They don't have a second round pick?
Yeah, first round, third round, fourth round, 7-7. Oh, okay, sorry. This is in a weird order. Okay.
Here we go.
First, second, third, fourth, fifth, and 3-7.
Is that second valuable? Is a second valuable
it's
to pick move?
Number 30.
Yeah.
It's practically a third rounder.
Because they don't have any, like, trades that are higher picks or anything like that.
I don't think they get any of those compensatory picks because they kept... I'd rather have Vance Joseph.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good move. Also, there's some news with the Broncos. We'll get into that in a moment. They just hired a new wide receivers coach, so we'll talk about that coming up next. But first, Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
One of the things I think Sean Payton needs to be very careful of, Michael, you know who else is a somewhat tight end / quarterback that's out there in free agency? Taysom Hill. And I've already heard people say, man, go get him because you can play both. He can throw the ball. He can play tight end for you. I'm not in the business of doing anything that's going to take more action and attempts away from Bo Nix. It worked for a little bit with the Saints, and it was cool. Like, I like Taysom Hill, man. I think he did a great job, and he's entertaining as hell. I'm not into any kind of dual threat, tight end kind of guy. I don't think that's the answer.
He can be your emergency backup.
No. Because if you bring him in, Sean's going to want to scheme. He's going to want to scheme for Taysom Hill, and that's going to take stuff away from Bo. That would not be a good thing.
Him, he'll be your emergency backup.
I'm telling you, if Sean Payton signs him, he's going to use him.
He will, yeah.
You want to see Taysom Hill in and throwing wrinkles out there? Because if you sign Taysom Hill, I disagree with you. He will not be your emergency backup. He will be your second tight end on the team, and they will also scheme some things to try to utilize his throwing ability.
And I bet they would over-scheme and forget some of the other players. And then
that's what I'm saying.
You'd have some players like Marvin Mims who'd be like, hey, I thought I was going to be a bigger part of the offense. I've gotten the ball thrown to me 4 times this year.
Yeah, I'm not into that. You know, I don't give Sean Payton any more reasons to be distracted from, you know, sticking to the basics and running the football and maybe not trick plays on 3rd and 1.
I have an idea. Maybe give your new offensive coordinator the power to call all the plays.
It sounds like that could happen. It sounds like, I mean, enough. We keep hearing about it. We keep reading about it. And again, for Davis Webb to back out of the Raiders job, I just have to imagine there was some kind of gentleman's agreement of come back here, start calling plays, be the OC, increase your resume so it's not just the Raiders that were really interested in you. And go from there. 12:49 the time, Mike. We'll take a short break here. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got buy or sell, but also the Nuggets are back in action tonight. Are we going to see Nikola Jokic get back to being in MVP form? He's still putting up good numbers, but he's had some turnover issues and things like that. Is it go time for this Nuggets team? It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Any reason? Just nothing? Just
this is a great song.
It's a little overplayed. I would say it's a little overplayed.
We're coming back with it.
No, we don't want to play it anymore. It's a good song. It's just I've heard it a lot, Mike. What is the movie I'm thinking of? Little Miss Sunshine, where the little girl she's competing in the beauty pageant, and they play this song when she's dancing up there and she's doing moves that her grandpa taught her and stuff. Like, that's a great movie. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
Like, they're making fun of the whole freaking thing that is like children's beauty pageants and stuff, and she goes up there and she's just like herself, and it's a great movie actually. You should go watch it. It's got Steve Carell in it.
I've heard it's very, very good.
Very good. I think it won some awards back in the day, but
Except it's an example of one of those one very
of the
good
rare ones small that wins. Yeah,
budget movies.
Yeah, yeah, true. Michael, is Team USA going to do it here on the women's side? They're losing 1-0, starting the third period right now. They were heavy favorites, according to my sources, which was Good Morning NoCo this morning. So we'll see. Third period starts now. Final hour of the show coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.